No!
No! No!
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Ryan.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hello. Welcome to No Sir I Don't Like It. Episode 61. How was that? Was that good? Listen, I'm not gonna lie to you. We were trying to recreate an intro we already recorded. This is a scrap.
Why would you? Why?
Because there's no secrets of me, man.
That's not even remotely true.
No, there's lies, but there's no secrets.
For sure. What the fuck do you think a lie is for? Is to protect a secret.
No, it's not.
Sure it is. It's misinformation. No.
Like, I'll tell you a lie I told recently.
By the way, it's episode 61 in case you...
Hi, welcome to No Sir. Last night I was on my way to a comedy club with a comic who was notorious for not paying for Ubers when you split them. So,
oh, really?
So I told him, hey, I had to delete Uber off my phone to make space, to force him to call the Uber.
So it's on his credit card. Yeah.
And then later on, we were catching a ride back after we were done at the club. And he said, my phone's dead. How are we going to get an Uber? And I was like, I'll just call one. He goes, I thought you deleted it. And I was like, yeah, I lied.
Just so you at least paid one way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would be more than happy to split it. But like sometimes you got to like fight fire with fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
But that lie was not to protect a secret. It was to protect my wallet.
Well, the secret is because... He doesn't know that he has this reputation, and you're keeping the secret from him. You should tell him.
No, hey, I told him. Of course I told him.
You have a reputation of not paying for a fucking car.
Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Have you been to any bathroom wall in any comedy club?
It's all your numbers everywhere.
It says, boop, boop. Never pays for Ubers.
I feel like that's all comedy groups are, just bathroom walls.
Oh, my God. The bathroom wall of the Ice House is funny because it names a lot of names of comics, but it's all nice stuff.
Oh, really? Like is it the brick one?
Yeah. It says like Connor McSpadden is hot on it.
I wonder if that was Connor.
Well, I was looking at it the other day because I host there every Wednesday an open mic. So I'm there a lot and I shit there a lot. I think my bowel.
Are you a public shitter? Some people won't shit in public.
Oh, I shit everywhere.
Really? I lived on the road, so I had to shit, but like I have. So, no, I only shit at home. Like how...
I
sometimes
hate that
you
shit.
How do you have such a sphincter where you could just not shit? There's no way that's good for your body.
No. Kids get sick doing that. That's like a thing that they have when I was a preschool teacher. There's like 4-year-olds who can't shit at school, and they would get sick. Their stomach would hurt
because they get backed up.
Yeah, they get backed up, and they wouldn't shit, and they would like cry and keel over and like hold their stomach like mm-hmm. and. I remember I just wanted to smack him and be like, grow up and go shit. We fucking have 2 wonderful Mexican ladies.
Was that a class you took in college on how to deal with preschool children? Is you just tell them to grow the fuck up and go
shit? Yeah. It's like these women, these Mexican women come in after hours and clean the shit. Like make your toilet at home is nowhere near as clean as this toilet.
Especially if you're shitting in the morning.
Like, there's a professional cleaning crew that comes in every day to make sure that toilet is clean.
You know what? I had this thought the other day. I'm so glad you brought this up because I've been wanting to say this, but it's just been lost in my head. Is that's like winning the lottery in public bathrooms is when you walk in and the seat is up, which means all of the bathrooms, the toilets were just clean. So you're the first ass on that clean
they
ass
still have
fucking
the Piso Mojado A-frame.
Oh, my God. Fuck yeah. It's so good.
That
really is like a poor person winning the lottery out in public. Like, there's been so many times I've walked into a grocery store or a Starbucks or something, and that seat's straight up because it's early mm-hmm. and I'm the first person to use it. God, it feels good. You feel
fresh
like a king.
Toilet paper roll.
Mm-hmm. You feel like a fucking king.
By the way, if you're not into this conversation, you're in for a world of hurt because there's going to be a lot of poop and shit and wiping discussion in the future of this podcast.
And that's a little foreshadowing.
That's foreshadowing.
A little,
and you'll see what I mean in the coming episodes.
This yeah. suspense.
But public bathrooms don't bother me. I'll shit anywhere. I mean, I've shit in a squat in Paris, France that had 2 footprints and a hole in the ground, and it was no problem.
Yeah.
I have no problem shitting anywhere. But then when you think about it, it's like the reason why people don't like public bathrooms is because I've used it.
Is that, are yeah. you the one that ruins it for one. Everyone yeah, else? Yeah. Why? And why do you have so much toilet paper on the ground? And why, how is there liquid on the walls?
No, that's not. It's the, no, I don't do that.
Oh, the stench.
It's the stench. Yeah, yeah, it's bad.
I mean, I don't care. Like, I always hate when I have to look at the person who made, like, the person that's in there. And, you know, they were in there over 10 minutes. You get a 10-minute right. cap, and then everybody knows you're shitting for sure.
I hate when something when I walk into a bathroom, I'm like, oh, this smells like my dad's shit.
Oh, that's no. Gross. When it's like a familiar shit
I
smell.
I hate that scent.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want a familiar one.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to. It's just gross to know. Like, that's just such a weird animal trait.
Yeah, to recognize. You're like, oh, I know
my,
that.
That's my dad's poop. That's like almost as gross as like. When you're like fucking somebody and they say something, you're like, oh, my mom used to say
oh,
that.
Oh, no. It's horrible. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to smell that. That's the last thing I want to smell. Smell I already smelled and know exactly where it comes
yeah.
from.
That's yeah. I don't know why all the
I
girls
smell
I
a lot
sleep
of shit,
with
though. Are
say.
You a smeller?
No, I barely. I mean, you can't not smell shit.
No, no, I don't mean that. But like, I'll smell things. Not like in a, like a. I'm not like smelling people's hands.
Oh,
and shit,
no, no.
I'm like,
not, I had a friend, my friend Theo. Mm-hmm. He can't not smell stuff. So you could get the grossest shit and be like, Theo, smell this. And he would look really concerned. And he would just be like, all right. And then he would sniff it and be like, oh, it's so gross. But he can't not sniff stuff.
Yeah, I sniff so many things. Not like I'm like a sniffing my food before I eat it, though, but like.
You're not like Napoleon. You're not
no.
worried it's poisoned.
No, no.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't really smell shit. I don't pay attention to anything, though. Mm-hmm. Really. Like, I eat raw chicken.
Like, this is like my, I don't have a lot of gripes about being short, but I can't stand when I hug a tall person and they fucking stink. And then my shoulder has to smell like your fucking funk. For like the next 10 to 15 minutes. I can't stand it.
One of the first podcasts we recorded, you were like, buddy, you got to wear deodorant. And I was like, where you could stop hugging me?
No, it's
I
mean,
always wear deodorant,
enough.
But sometimes we record after I work.
Yeah.
And there's just no deodorant on earth that can stop a guy from who's loading trucks in his 30s.
But you're also tall
it.
Enough, your pit's at my nose level. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's just being around people. Like there's too many comics, man. It's like you're around too many people to be like, fuck deodorant. No, this isn't a fucking comic book convention.
Yeah,
you wear it's basic hygiene, dude. Like
open mics smell like a teenage locker room.
It's disgusting.
It's really gross.
And I'm a nice person. I'm a tactile person. And as we've already discussed on this podcast, I hug people. And if you're, it's infuriate. I go from being so happy to infuriated whenever somebody hugs me. And now the top of my shoulder smells like a fucking foot. You disgusting piece of shit.
That's awful. I smelled for so long. I remember my sister's probably going to text me about this because I was like a dirty punk. Like we were like street punks. Mm-hmm. Like we were filthy fucking. We called ourselves dirty kids. We were against washing.
I think it's just armpit specific.
Well, hold on though. Mm-hmm. I was in the hospital with kidney failure. I was like a day away from dialysis. I was in really
Holy
bad
shit.
Shape. And my family had flew into it because I was in the hospital. I was pissing jet black piss because there was so much blood
God.
In it. I was very, very
what
sick.
What happened?
I had a strep throat and mm-hmm. I didn't have health insurance and I waited too long to get it treated. So then once I got the strep antibiotics, I had strep throat for so long that my body kept creating the antibodies that they were using to naturally fight the infection. And the antibodies started attacking my kidneys because they had nowhere to go.
God.
It's called post-strep pneumococcal infectious nephritis.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I have so many. Actually, this is great that we're getting into this because this is just going to eat up a lot of time. first thing, though, in relation,
really, that's really nice letting the listeners know that you can't wait for this to be over. That's
no,
real
no,
good.
No. I'm saying we're going to fill up a good amount of this podcast with interesting shit.
Oh, good, good.
That's all I meant. There's no carbs or sugar in this story. This is just straight fat burning magic. So, I lived in a punk house, 666 Pulaski Street. It was an actual address was 666 Pulaski Street,
and then naturally,
it was in Georgia, and the guy got the address changed to 668, and the property value went up $10,000. That's not a lie. That's how religious people are down there.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah. So yeah, we were all there. It's a legendary punk house. We had shows there. Every band came through there, and actually, a band that was on the Chris Gethard show played there. They were on the Chris Gethard show a couple nights ago, and they played there. In our dirt basement. But we were filthy. We had mohawks. A lot of them rode trains. We hitchhiked. All that shit. So we all smelled terrible. And my sister visited me when I was in the hospital with kidney failure. And all my roommates came to visit me. And she's like, I had to leave because I was about to throw up. Your friend smelled so bad. She was like, they were disgusting. And they all had, like, we were all like stick and poke tattoos.
There's dirty people that I don't... It's just specifically like that French onion dip. Gross.
Mine is minestrone soup.
See, I don't mind the soup. I don't mind the soup. It's the oniony underarm, the one that sticks to you. Because I've smelled a ton of dirty people in my life. I don't shower every day. Get the fuck out of here.
There's no way you wouldn't have been repulsed by what I'm talking about.
Probably. I mean, I don't doubt it. I'm not doubting your stench. That's not what I'm saying.
No. But it was there were seven of us.
Yeah.
So one of those was the odor you don't like. Just by odds.
Just a smorgasbord of disgusting.
My stench was fine because I was in the hospital, so I was...
You had an excuse.
I was getting washed up too, though. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't getting sponge baths. Right? That's not what I was saying. But
it's just you and like in the beginning of coming to America.
You know, it's funny though. When here's what I don't like.
Kidney is clean.
Is the way doctors judge you by how you look and therefore don't. Like, I almost, when you go on dialysis, you're never off of it. I mean, maybe somebody can correct me off this, but from what I understand is once you go into dialysis, you have
to stay on it. It's like a 4%er. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a 4%. 4%, like going all in on the river.
And they were, I was one day away from dialysis, according to the doctor who finally figured it out. But the first doctor I went to.
You were a day away from having something else in common with Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it didn't hold him back. He did a lot of shit.
He did. Yeah, he got a lot done.
He was skinny, too.
And he was living in a cave for a while with it, too. So
I don't believe that.
No?
No. So the reason why I go to the doctors is because I was retaining water. And my stomach puffed out. And I got this big gut. And I was very skinny back then. And it got so heavy in my stomach that I couldn't lay down to sleep. This is how long I let it go.
Wow.
I had to sleep sitting up. And then I was like, I got to go to the hospital. And I was pissing pure foam. Turns out the foam I was pissing was called pronurtin. And your kidneys have these little feelers that kind of come off of like plants in on barnacles or whatever. On a coral reef. And it was my kidneys were breaking off the little feelers. And that's what I was pissing out. So, like, my kidneys were deteriorating, and I was pissing it out. And it was all bloody and, like jet black blood.
Yeah.
And so I go to the doctors, and my sister's there because she lived in Georgia, too. She was – and right in front of the doctor, he goes, do you use intravenous drugs? Because I had a mohawk or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
I looked like a punk. I mean, yeah. I was just filthy and dressed weird. And I go, no, I've never used it. He goes, unprotected homosexual sex. What about your sexual practices? And I was like, first of all, I got family in this room. And also, no, that's not the problem. Yeah. Like, I use protection. And then...
I don't have sin in my dick, Doc. There's something else going on. Yeah,
but this is before he's done anything. This is before he's looked at all. He hasn't even shined a flashlight down my throat or stuck the popsicle stick instantly right into this. And he goes, I need you to be honest about your drug history and your sexual past. And I was like, I am. I've never used an intravenous drug in my life. Mm-hmm. I have had shots, but I don't think... Whatever you're thinking.
I don't think an MMR qualifies as intravenous drugs. You gave them to me,
yeah,
Doc.
Yeah, and I've never had unprotected anal sex with a man. I'm telling you that right now.
I'm so sorry. That's so hard for you to believe.
Yeah, nor protected sex with a man. And so he goes, he says this, because I'm thinking HIV.
That's what he says?
Can you imagine, before you look he didn't take my temperature before he did anything.
See, so did you already have a chart? Did the nurse already see
no,
you?
No, he just, I described my symptoms to him. Yeah, the nurse probably took my blood pressure and temperature, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember that, but probably, because you don't go straight
to
the doctor.
It was just based on what you told him your symptoms.
Can you imagine a doctor looking at you without doing a thing and saying, because I'm thinking HIV.
What the fuck?
That is the most insane. And I started freaking out. And my first thought is, if I have AIDS, I'm killing myself. That was, and I was 100% sure.
Right.
And I go, how about you do the fucking test first?
Yeah.
And then they give me a rapid HIV test. Of course, I don't have it. I was at zero risk for it. Yeah. and then he says this, it's not HIV, but now I'm thinking cancer.
What the fuck? What is he, a WebMD search? What the fuck, dude?
He is, I'll tell you this, he's a negative Nancy. That's one thing he is. Wow.
How old were you at this time?
I was 21,
oh, of
22.
Course. What a piece of
21,
shit.
22 years old.
It's not AIDS, it's got to be cancer.
I was a
Happy
wreck.
Happy birthday.
I was a wreck. And I was freaking out because my body was falling apart. Yeah. I was pissing Coca-Cola.
Oh.
And my stomach was giant from retention. And when I pissed, it hurt. Oh. And I so then I go into the hospital. And I'm in the nephrology ward, the kidney ward.
Mm-hmm.
And they still can't figure out what it is. Turns out blood work is done, not cancer, not AIDS. By the way, if you're a doctor and you're listening to this, don't throw out shit without testing it first.
You fucking idiot.
AIDS and cancer right away, he said. And so, and then what's worse is after, well, good news, it's not AIDS. Good news, it's not cancer. Bad news, no fucking clue. And so a second doctor starts going over my charts, and they're like, they're watching this level called my creatinine level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what creatinine is. It's something that they...
Not to be confused with creatine. This isn't like some whey protein.
Yeah. I wasn't like Mark McGuire. I wasn't hitting 70 home runs. I was just retaining water and pissing Killian's Irish Red. And so the doctor can't figure it out. The second doctor can't figure it out. They don't know what's going on. I'm in the hospital for a long time. My dad flies in to visit me. My stinky friends are all there. Everybody's worried. And then a third doctor, I'll never forget his name. His name was Dr. Adogu. He was Nigerian. And he goes, oh, I saw this all the time in Nigeria. He goes, this isn't common in America. This is like a third world thing. That's how dirty I was, first of all. But it's from
It smells familiar.
And so I had to get CAT scans. I got a biopsy. And when I got the kidney biopsy, they were like, you're going to pass some blood.
Oh, wow.
I pissed thick blood.
Oh, my God.
Like, I had thick piss. It hurt coming out because it was thicker than urine.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And so I pissed thick.
Was it thicker than cum, too?
I forgot that I cum. I guess that's not that unusual. I completely forgot. I'm like a fucking monk, dude. I totally forgot. Yeah, no. No, it wasn't.
Okay.
But but you don't cum a stream.
You don't cum a pint, but I just pint was training, at a time. Like, yeah. If it was like chunk, like, you know, I think it was people that pass kidney stones and stuff like that. Like, there's actual, like, it's like sharp and.
Yeah, no, this is just thick blood.
Mm-hmm.
That's so funny.
oh, wait. Oh, that's right. A cum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I forgot about cum.
Oh, my God. I should get one of those priest collars.
You should.
Actually, they seem to cum a lot.
Yeah. Plenty.
Yeah.
Enough for you and I combined.
Mm-hmm. Then the guy figures it out. They start putting me in intravenous antibiotics, and it finally goes away with this permanent kidney damage done to me. But I always thought that they would have found out what was wrong with me quicker if they didn't just judge the way I looked and assume that it had to be something to do with drugs.
Yeah.
And like getting... and. That's how I got treated because of choices I made, because I got bad tattoos and the way I dressed. But I can't imagine being something that I can't change.
Mm-hmm.
Like being a fucking, like just a black person in a hospital. They're like, well, you probably have diabetes or sickle cell anemia. I'm not going to look into it.
Yeah, it's just probably that. Just throwing out random.
You're predisposed to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny because I got a lot of that extra attention from doctors and the law. Like, you know, where you go into from the way I looked, but I chose to look that way. So I was asking for that attention in a way. But it does, even though I get that I was asking for it and I could have made decisions to like deflect that attention, I do get what it's like to be the kind of person who just gets random aggressive attention from strangers, like cops and shit. Yeah. And it makes me way more fucking empathetic to that shit. I'm not saying it's the same thing, because I know I made those choices to do that, but dude, it fucking sucks. Like, you can't, like when you're a punk in Georgia and you're walking down the street, that all of a sudden you'll just hear faggot as the car goes by, you know, and then like a Bud Light can will hit you in the head. It's like, God damn, they're so athletic. Yeah. Those homophobes. Yeah. Faggot.
I got eggs thrown at me. It wasn't a beer can, but it was eggs.
Somebody threw an egg at my mom when she was running one time when mm-hmm. I was a little kid, and she got this big welt on her calf. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe that people do that to people.
Yeah.
Like, it blew my mind. It made me cry. I was like a little kid, and I cried. And then fast forward like 10 years, doing way worse shit to strangers. That lesson did not stick. I'm like, maybe we should throw a cinder block off the highway, see if we can kill somebody. Like, I didn't do that. But I'm just saying, those are ideas we tossed around.
It was carpets. He was throwing entire carpets.
Flaming bags of poo onto UPS trucks.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the worst that would ever could be... It was the same. Mine was more a pride basis. I didn't want to go to the doctor, and I was like, "No, it's fine. I'll just beat this whatever it is myself." And then it turned in from like a cold to like worse, and then like to walking pneumonia. And then it was like I had it for like 2 months, and then I finally was like I had like no energy, and it was like hard for. I was still going to work every day, working through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom was finally like, "Just fucking go to your." Grossing me out. Just go to the doctor.
Right.
And then I get there and he's like, if you would have waited another day, you would have your lungs are almost all liquid. Like, oh, I don't know how you're living. You have the lungs right now. You have the lungs of somebody who's been smoking for 40 years.
They had to drain you out.
He gave me like, it was no, he didn't. He was just, he gave me a shot in the ass. He was like, because I had to get that many antibiotics in my system immediately. He was like, he goes, your kidneys are going to shut down in a day or two.
He's like, I could give you the shot in the bicep, but.
You deserve this. That's, yeah, you've been bad.
I'm shooting you in the ass because you fucked up. You're drowning in your own infection.
Yeah.
God, it's so.
And it was just like, no, I'll be fine. And it was just like a cough. And, you know, it just, at some point, it just became like an acceptable smoker's cough. Even though I didn't smoke, I just had this cough. Where if I laughed even a little bit, it was just, it just sounded like I was dying. Yeah. It'd be like, and then I couldn't stop. And everybody was like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I'm fine.
Emphysema. You were like a 75-year-old. How old are you at the time?
I was like 22.
Yeah. Jesus.
Coughing like a 40-year-old smoker.
I know, it's so funny how, like, whenever you meet people who are like, man, you know, you have your health when you're young, and both of us almost died from, like, kidney failure.
From a common cold, yeah.
Yeah, kidney failure and lung fluid almost killed us. I'm healthier now than I was then.
If I for sure am.
That's crazy. The guy told me I shouldn't drink, like,
after that. Oh, yeah.
So I spent the next 10 years binge drinking. So my kidneys will probably fail. He's like, you've done permanent damage. They're already in a weakened state. You should really be careful with drinking. And then I just blacked out for the next 4 years.
Just trying to forget what he told me.
It's so funny to be like, he's like, you've already got permanent damage. Please don't drink. Oh, yeah, totally. Okay.
The only thing you could have done even funnier is if you just shotgunned a beer as he was telling you.
Was that not? Sorry. But I mean, fast forward 3 months later, I taught a workshop on how to shotgun a beer. I had 25 people sitting on a softball field.
I was just kidding.
Field.
You actually did that right after?
Yeah, a couple months after. I taught it. Yeah, because there was this like punk festival where everybody was teaching like DIY skills. And I was like, I'll teach people how to shotgun a beer. And yeah, so I taught 25 people. So I did there was 26 of us shotgunning at one time. Dude, one time I taught these Japanese dudes how to shotgun a beer in Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah.
It was at a punk festival. And they made the most stereotypical Japanese noises.
What does that mean?
Clancy, please remind me. We have a listener who can remind me the accuracy of this story. But all I remember is seeing Japanese guys shotgun a beer and then go, and make the most Japanese noise ever.
Like a samurai?
Because it sucks shotgunning a beer.
Of course
you up
it
real
is.
Quick.
Was that in burping?
I think it was just Japanese way of going like, ugh. Like, ugh. I think that's a Japanese ugh. It was just going, hopefully, so yeah, Clancy, please text me and give me the correct version of that story. I might just remembering it in such a racist way, but I like mine.
it's a funny recollection.
Have you ever shotgunned a beer?
Yeah.
What do you use to shotgun? How do you do it?
Key it, and then you pop the top and go, 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 go.
When's the last time you shotgunned a beer?
It's been a couple years. Why do you want to do it? All live on the podcast?
No,
I'll probably throw up on you.
I don't drink. No, you're not throwing up on me. I will do a backflip off this balcony.
I'm just kidding. I don't throw up.
I almost threw up on the train a couple days ago, so I'm back to not drinking.
Oh, no.
I can't, like,
you can't contribute to the stench down there, man. You can't be.
You know what's funny is I just, like, when I took that, I just didn't drink for 40 days, and now I'm like a college girl when I drink now. Like,
oh, are you trying to make up for lost time?
No. It's like I have the tolerance.
Is it like I party now?
Like
a junkie ODs? Like you go back to the amount you were drinking before you took 40 days off, and then you drink that much, but now your system is cleaner, so it's going through you faster, so you're getting hammered on less alcohol. And so you're like fucking blackout drunk when you're like, I always drink like this!
Yeah, and I'm just saying, yeah. Yeah, I'm not fucking. I've been drinking for 20 fucking years.
Are you doubting my abilities?
This is how drunk I was. I was walking home, like from the bar, mm-hmm. and for some reason I just got stuck doing this. I kept going, and the whole time I started moaning as I was doing it. I was just going. The whole time, and I knew I was wasted, and I was stumbling down. I was like, I know somebody's looking at me right now, and I'm stumbling down the street.
You're contributing to what people think homeless people in Los Angeles are like. That's what happened.
It felt so good.
Of course.
I was so drunk, and my cheeks just flapping around felt so good. And then I started running home, which is a real classic drunk move. I want to know if any of the listeners have ever had to do this where, like,
I've never heard that. I'll just stumble all the way home.
So you get drunk and you get whiny and you're just like, I just want to be in bed. Just want to be in bed now. And, like, you don't know how to get an Uber. You've probably lost your phone and your wallet. You don't know where the bus is. So you just run. And you can run fast when you're drunk and you want to go to bed. So
yeah, because you don't care about falling. You don't think about safety and
so
anything.
I'm just running.
It's all about speed.
I'm running up Ave 57 in LA, running as hard as I can, going.
You're still doing it?
I can't stop. And then I woke.
There is something about when you're like really hammered or really, really super hot, like edible too high, where just simple bodily functions become like euphoric as fuck.
Yeah, one time I ate this weed butter and I started doing the. And I could feel it vibrating my like right front tooth, top tooth, mm-hmm. and it felt amazing.
Yeah.
It feels good right now, actually. I get a lot of that ASMR shit. Like, they were, at the Comedy Store today, I was talking to some other comic, and she had this voice that, like, it felt like a really relaxing, in a relaxing way, like a finger pressing on the back of my shoulder blades. Like, her voice, like, was like acupuncture. Mm-hmm. I was trying really hard to be able to enjoy the feeling of her voice with also paying attention to whatever the fuck she was saying.
It's hard to do that.
So I could keep
good
her
luck.
Talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can fake it. I mean, I'm certain you've done
that.
Oh,
girls are
real
easy. You just ask them a question about themselves and then let them roll.
But then all you have to do is look at them. If you make eye contact with somebody, they will just keep going and going and going. It's real easy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To keep somebody.
Oh, yeah, I
can
feel it right now.
You can think about so
many. Her voice is just like, ooh. You know how like you can press on somebody?
Tell her to start a podcast. And it's just
yeah, it would be really good.
Then you could listen without listening.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't. Do you have those voices that just like. Kind of like they
not
have a
like
frequency
that.
And they just like kind of take you down.
There are people that whose voices I could listen to all day, but it's not like I don't get like a guttural.
Are there any famous
like that.
Voices that you could listen to?
Mm, I could listen to David Attenborough forever for the rest of my life.
Dude, one time I ate mushrooms and I was watching Planet Earth,
mm-hmm.
and I tried to order Chinese food.
Did you do it as David Attenborough?
I did it as David Attenborough, but I was not on a phone. I was in an apartment in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and I was like, I would like the wonton soup. But I wasn't talking to anybody. I don't know. In my mind, I was 100% talking to a Chinese food restaurant.
I wish I know. I never had experiences like that on drugs. And all the time I've ever done them, it's never been where I was so out of touch with what was happening. But I still have like crawled into my own brain and had a really fun experience. The whole time I always knew, I could always tell a difference between what was happening and what was fake.
That's one of the more far out experiences I've had.
But all the stuff like with the seeing all the stereotypes of seeing purple elephants and the walls. Oh, bleeding,
I've never hallucinated. That's not true.
You just said that. Like you thinking that you're ordering Chinese food on a phone and you're not doing that. That's a
delusion. I wasn't seeing shit that wasn't there.
Right, right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I've like seen the walls move and stuff. But actually, this reminds me what we're talking about because I just said that's the most far out I've ever been, which is kind of the hippiest thing I've ever said. It makes me want to read an email from Colonel John.
Oh shit. The Colonel wrote
us. We have
a
bunch of stuff we want to address and or get back to. But
first of all, let's thank Angie.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Angie Bloomfield.
A friend of the podcast, sent us some motherfucking wine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, girl, I love you.
Yeah, I already drank my wine.
Brian.
That's how I fell off that 40-day sobriety wagon.
Oh, you broke it for Angie.
I didn't break it. It was always planned to be broken, but that was what I... And then it turned me into a wine drinker for a while there. Mm-hmm. And there were several nights where I was alone in my room with red teeth. it was fantastic, though. No complaints. The wine, Angie's wine was better than the wine I stole from my work.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, that we really appreciate that. Yeah, she's... Listener of the podcast sent us 4 bottles of wine. I took the reds because it's less sugar. And
so I had to be the drunk housewife.
Carmen, yeah, Carmen's a woman, so white wine for her.
Totally. I only drink white. Do you have any whites?
Thanks, Angie, so much for the wine. We really appreciate that. Also, I wanted to say this. Carmen and I are talking about planning another No Sir, I Don't Like It month-long tour, and we are trying to figure out what region of the country to come to.
Yeah, should we go to the Midwest? Should we go to the South again? Should we go to the Pacific Northwest? Where should we
Northeast.
Go? Yeah, the Northeast.
So if you guys want us to come to your area, please hit us up because we're trying to figure out where we want to go. It'll probably be in the fall.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
And we'd it'd be cool to do a live podcast too.
Yeah, we want to do a live podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to do stand up for you guys so you guys can see what we actually do instead of hearing us just talk about doing it all the time. But
you can hear why we care so much.
Yeah. So let us know what area of the country you live in and if you're interested in seeing us. And then also if you guys, you know, send us support, we can let the clubs know that there are people who are going to come out to see us.
Hell yeah. Let us know at nosirpod or at nosirpod@gmail.com. Also, we're going to start a gripe of the week. We want to know, like, tell us the thing that has chapped your ass the most this week. And then
here's how
Brian and I are going to talk about it on the next episode.
Yeah, yeah. If you send in what's been bothering you lately, we'll pick one or two that we want to talk about too,
mm-hmm.
and we'll go off on it on your behalf as professional rantors. please, gripe of the week. Whatever's been bothering you, don't even worry about being creative. If your fucking shoes have been bothering you, my shoes are bothering me. My pinky toes are chapped red right now. I thought I got the right size, ordered shoes off the internet. Now I got 2 raw pinky toes. Tried to put a Band-Aid over it, just made the problem even tighter.
Oh, no.
There's literally nothing I can do. I'm thinking about slicing the pinky toe area out of my shoe.
Way to be Van Gogh about it.
I'm not slicing my toes off. I'm just slicing the canvas on the fucking shoe. That's
just have pinkies out.
Yeah. So, I mean, unless you guys want, I mean, this is where I'm at in my life where I just have to rub my pinky toes raw on the new shoes I got. Because I can't afford another pair of shoes. So if shoes have been bothering you,
you know, you can go
I'm
to Ross for like $20 and feel how they feel.
Listen, I have issues. I have hang-ups with clothes. I really do. I
What's your issues?
I can only wear certain things.
I only go to fair trade stores.
No, I don't give a fuck about that.
My shoes are made of hemp.
No, I want Chinese. I want raw Chinese baby fingers. I don't give a shit about that.
I would
that.
Actually prefer the Chinese babies as the shoes if I could just cut out the middleman.
Shove my foot into a Chinese baby's mouth, walk down the street. no, I just it's just about color schemes and shit like that. Like, I couldn't find anywhere the shoes I like. I like these plain black. It doesn't matter. Shoes have been bothering me. My pinky toes are raw. I think the shoes will stretch out.
Man, I can't have you being this upset over shoes the whole time.
But you know, whatever. Gripe of the week. That's my gripe of the week. Let me know yours. Okay, here's a letter from Colonel John,
the Colonel,
our favorite writer. Right in her. Just kidding, Matthew. no, we love Colonel John, but Colonel John's here to call me out.
The scorned lover that is Matthew Maloney.
Matthew Maloney is the no sir scorned lover.
We have a letter from him too.
We'll get to you, Matt. But Colonel John thinks he's on to me. He thinks he did some armchair psychology and he's diagnosed me. And here's what he came up with. And I'll preface this by saying he's wrong. We're on to you, Voki. You try to pose as a rage-filled, cynical misanthrope. But in the honored tradition of unqualified strangers psychoanalyzing the lives of people they've heard of but don't know, I gotcha. It really is, it's nice to hear somebody say they've heard of me.
Thanks, Colonel.
Note. So that's like him taking notes on his subject. Note. Subject started out putting his pale pink body, first of all, wrong right away.
What?
I'm not pale.
Dude, look at your fucking shoulders, man. Look at the part of your meat that doesn't see anything, any light. The vitamin D deficient parts.
If my shoulders haven't seen light, then Colonel John hasn't seen them either. So he doesn't know that my shoulders are as white as an erase board, dry erase board. But
he knows. No, that's what makes them magical.
I get dark for a white guy. Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to get dark. It doesn't mean that you weren't pale at some point.
I'll tell you what, man. You know what my Groundhog Day is? My Groundhog Day is I know summer is 2 weeks away when somebody on the street asks me what I am. Because that means the sun's been out.
Do you get that every summer?
Every year. That happened to me a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I was walking MacArthur
summer's
Park.
Coming.
And this lady goes, damn, you got an ass though. And she goes, that's the kind of white boy I like or whatever the fuck you is. And I was like, summer's coming. People start speaking Spanish to me on the train. People start asking me if I'm half this, half that. It's just so take that, Colonel, first of all. I don't have a pale pink body. I have an ethnically ambiguous body.
You're reading this very defensively.
I'm Mediterranean.
You haven't even let him speak. You're getting already defensive about it.
Well, he's right. I mean, excuse me, he's wrong.
Ooh! I hope he clips that part out and just plays it over and over and over again as you saying that he's right.
Subject started out putting his pale pink body on the line to protect his community.
Is he talking about you being in the armed forces?
I think if he's talking about the army, I did. The only people who were threatening my body were other soldiers in the American army. So, and I'm not.
It still kind of counts.
I hate to say this.
Right.
I hate to say this, Colonel John, but through my experiences, I'm not the biggest fan of the troops.
We like you.
We love you, Colonel. I've met a few. Specialist Andy Sipe. I'll love him forever.
Mm-hmm.
He helped me pick out gay porn when I was trying to, in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell era.
Mm-hmm.
When
you
I was
trying to get kicked out.
Specialist Andy Sipe. I love him forever. And then he goes on to say that I live in a communal house with a bunch of strangers. A couple of them were strangers, but now we're all very close friends, Colonel John. And I've known one of my roommates for 10 years. Okay? And that's how I got in. Strangers? I think not. He put out a record for my band.
You made new friends, though. I mean, again, he's still kind of right.
Works a day job in a demanding personal service industry, tending to the needs of others. They're not needs.
Yeah.
They're
this
just
one,
rich
This one
cunts.
You might be a little...
They're just rich cunts who want... They want their fucking... They get the little tiny waffle ice cream cones filled with roe.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. What's the other word for roe?
Fish eggs?
Yeah, no, the caviar.
Caviar.
Yeah, they have like that's nobody needs that. I'm not tending to any needs when I'm giving somebody little handmade waffle, little tiny ice cream cones filled with fish eggs. It's just a bunch of millionaires getting married for 2 weeks until they get it annulled after they get in the magazines.
Business transaction, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny to have like a marriage as a publicity stunt.
I guarantee I've catered 10 of them. I mean, that fucking retard wedding I did is definitely a publicity stunt.
Yeah, for
There's
sure.
There's no way that's not. Annie was using mentally challenged kids to get ratings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, love. Vocal in his outrage at every day, Carvin just covered her face because I did an impression of a guy with Down syndrome.
Did you hear that day?
No.
Give me an actual quote, not like a you making fun quote. What was an actual quote from that day? Do you remember it all?
I remember, I do.
Was it like that?
I do. Anyway, back into Colonel John's letter where he thinks I'm a good person secretly. Within his letter of trying to expose me of a good person, I started doing impressions of retards. excuse me, people with Down syndrome. This is one of those things where I am going to send out a tweet that hurts people's feelings, and then they go back and do research on me, and they're like, here's comedian Brian Vokey doing impressions of mentally challenged people, mm-hmm. and they play me going, I do. That's why we need this podcast to pop, because that's the best way. We need you guys to...
We need fans first so they can defend us when people come to kill us all.
Or it just won't matter because clubs will book us if we sell tickets.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like they need to be... We need to have a reason to not get kicked out of this industry.
Yeah, if in some weird alternate universe I end up on America's Got Talent, get to the finals, and then they start doing it, like, looking back
oh
into
my
this
God.
Podcast.
Yeah.
We compiled an episode of pedophilia outtake jokes, and it made in 2 hours. 2 hours of pedophilia jokes. What else does Colonel John have to say? Passionate in carrying his message to strangers wherever he can, almost every night. Look at that. There's the dig. He's like, mm-hmm. You're not getting booked every night. We know that.
Attaboy, Colonel.
If he could do it every night, he would, but...
He can't, so I won't.
Uses mushrooms to connect to the universe. Now... I don't Aww. Use mushrooms to connect to the universe, even though I know I just said earlier I was eating mushrooms and watching Planet Earth, but that I didn't put Planet
it's
Earth
really,
on.
You, yeah?
No, my friend Joe put it on, and then sometimes when you're on mushrooms, you can't figure out remote controls and shit. I remember one time I was on mushrooms, and I was trying to let my friend into this warehouse I was living in, mm-hmm. and we used a padlock for the door, and it was a combo. And I was just spinning the my friend was trying to get in the house, and it was just spinning
just felt fun.
The padlock. And I was like, I can't even do it. And I was laughing. And he goes, let me in the fucking house. And I was like, I can't. I don't know how to do the padlock. And then I just walked away. Sacrifice, commune, service to others, passionate for justice and one with the universe. You're a full-on flower child hippie. No wonder. I am not, dude.
You are.
I am not a
hippie.
I'm not a fucking hippie. I am.
All punk is a fucking hippie with a different kind of music. It's the same shit.
No, we're angrier, and I'm not even a punk anymore. I'm just there's nothing punk about me anymore. There really is nothing punk about me anymore.
You can't say that. You have tattoos, man. Those don't come
those
off.
Those are scraps, though. Those are scraps. It's just stains. It's like I'm wearing a stained T-shirt on my body.
You are always wearing one.
Yeah, yeah. My body is just a stained T-shirt. Stained white T-shirt.
Stained white T-shirt body, Brian Vokey.
Here's my biggest problem with your email, John, is your last line. No wonder Carmen keeps you around. I couldn't hate you more than when you said that. Carmen doesn't keep me around, okay?
Oh,
do you think a plane keeps their wings around?
Here we go. What?
Do you think a plane keeps its wings around? This is how we take off. I am the wings of this podcast.
I also don't like that the Colonel's trying to say something to make it divisive between us. That's why would you want to get him riled up? To start some shit? You trying to instigate a problem? You call him a hippie? You know he's going to go after you for saying that. You know he can't take any kind of criticism that isn't his own to himself. So what the fuck?
That's not true. I just took.
That's not true. Thank you for proving me right.
I just took a bunch of criticism at the comedy store from a bunch of funny fellas. I loved it. I was licking my lips.
I think the colonel might be manipulating you, to be honest.
I think Carmen, I don't think you keep me around.
No?
No.
Okay, what am I doing then?
You're hitching your wagon to a shooting star.
Oh, shut the fuck
you
up.
You are. You're hitching your wagon to a shooting star. You know what you are? You're E.T. and you're in a
you
basket.
You are a hippie.
You're E.T.
You just referred yourself as a shooting star. You're a fucking hippie.
Wait. No, you're Elliot. That's who you are. I'm E.T. You're Elliot. You're in a stupid little red sweater, and you're in a stupid little bicycle.
I saved your life then, if that's the case.
But I'm flying us over to the moon.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be if I hadn't saved your life. You need to be better if you're going to be making movie references.
Yeah, maybe you saved my life, but I saved your career. How's that?
Thanks, buddy. So glad you're here.
Thanks for the email, Colonel John. Another solid one. I really appreciate it. I love that. That was a good
Thanks for ending the podcast, Colonel John.
Colonel John, you know I have oppositional defiance disorder. It gets in the way of things. Maybe you don't know that, but now you do.
He knows. He's listened.
Now we have another email from, Colonel John at this moment is like our mistress, and Matthew Maloney is like our tired old wife.
Who's pissed off at us. She's like Carmela Soprano.
Yeah, exactly. Colonel John's like that
Russian whore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that Russian. Oh, my God.
Yeah, gorgeous.
There's maybe the hottest woman on television.
Pretty
history.
Much. Whew. She's got a cute little tiny face.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, the rest is great, too. Oh.
God,
I was going to leave that for you to, because that's not, it's your area.
I feel like I'm about to piss thick blood. Matthew Maloney.
I feel like my kidneys are shutting down. You know what I mean?
Oh, about to have a foamy head. Here's from Matthew Maloney. Congratulations to Sergeant Joggers, the quote-unquote favorite emailer of No Sir, I Don't Like It.
If that's not something a scorn lover would say, I don't know what is.
That is the most bitter subject line. I could go like search my exes in my email and I wouldn't find subject lines that bitter. Yes, I would. I'm so glad to see you guys returning to good form after that atrocity of an episode we know is number 57. I don't know. Man, that was a stinker.
What are we doing?
15 minutes in, Brian says he doesn't like the way in which people talk about rape on the internet. And from that point, you guys proceed to talk about rape on the internet. First of all, that's what we do. That's the whole premise of the podcast.
That was the point of it. We were talking about how we don't like the way people talk about it on the internet.
I also said I don't like how doctors talked to me and then talked about how doctors talked to me because that's the fucking point.
That's the point of this.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Did you suffer a head injury? Did you forget the premise of this podcast?
Is it pausing only briefly to discuss the Vern Troyer sex tape, which is another thing we have to address.
We do have to address that. We have to talk about how you're responsible for the death of Vern Troyer. He probably heard the episode and had a fucking heart attack because you called it so gross or whatever.
He lived too long. He was...
What?
No, wait, like...
Not, oh, my God!
Not like I wanted him to die, but he lived longer than the life expectancy of whatever you call him. Wait, he's below a dwarf. What is that?
I don't know.
Or shorter than a dwarf. Below a dwarf.
Oh, my God.
But he's, he 49 years old. Like, he probably had an enlarged heart. I mean, those guys don't live
long. I thought
long.
That was a giant problem. That's not going to be the same thing on the opposite
end. Midgets don't live long. Like, I know this, like... I know that smaller dogs live longer than bigger dogs, but I know that the life expectancy has something to do with their hearts. They don't live as long. So I didn't kill him, but he did die shortly after I made fun of his sex tape.
And that you made me watch, fucking jerk.
Yeah, somebody made me watch it. It's like a fucking ghost you have to pass on to somebody else. It's like, stop haunting me. Haunt her now.
Look, fresh meat. Get out of here. Leave me alone.
So Mini-Meat died shortly after we discussed his sex tape. And
I still think it's Brian's fault.
I got to tell you, I feel nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I could understand that considering you called him having sex disgusting.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a baby thrashing on a grown woman, I think, is your direct quote.
Oh, yeah. And that's actually, we had another listener whose patio we're recording on. He texted me. Apparently, when I was talking about Vern Troyer and stuff, and I was talking about, somehow I used the words baby cocks a lot. And he said,
oh, my God.
And he said, I would argue that babies do not have cocks.
They have baby penises. They're not. You have to grow into cock.
Brian, I sincerely hope that tape wasn't as hard for you to watch as that episode was to listen to. I mean, Jesus Christ. I wouldn't let my dog listen to that one. Matthew Maloney, I'm going to bet you don't have a dog. But I'm not writing in to dwell on your shortcomings.
He seems like he would have like a lot of animals, you know?
He seems like he's... if I had to guess what kind of animal Matt would have...
Like a reptile?
No. Well, that... Yeah, maybe it's
like... Seems like he would have a reptile.
I was going to go with ferret.
No. I can't see Matthew Maloney with a ferret.
I do. Or a weasel, like a big slinky weasel that crawls on his shoulders.
So just a ferret? That's
is a ferret a weasel? Fucking, the same
yeah,
thing?
It's in the same family, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. Are you a ferret guy? I could see Matt sitting at home with
I don't think he would have, because they have that weird stink to him. I don't think Matt.
That's part of the reason why I think that. But
oh,
I,
yeah? I think he would. It would be the opposite. I think he would not.
I'm not mad at, by the way, I did not imply that you stink at all. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I could see you having an animal that stinks. I don't know if that's nicer or meaner.
I think that might be meaner, but
I'm sure we'll hear from you about it. I picture you with a parakeet on one shoulder and the rest of your...
See, I don't see him as a bird person either, because I like birds. And I don't think him and I have that in common.
I don't know your logic there, but I see him with a white parakeet and a white ferret, slinky weasel thing. That's what I picture you with.
I think he is owned a turtle or maybe a tarantula. He seems like one of those, like somebody keeping a glass tank.
He doesn't seem like a tarantula
tank.
Guy to me.
Why?
Because I know a tarantula guy. Ari Manis is a tarantula guy. Most of the tarantula guys I think of are guys who really don't consider other people's feelings at all.
You don't think this letter? You think this letter considers our feelings?
This man is one giant ball of emotion. He lashes.
More reason I don't think that you would own a ferret, because they're thieves. You don't want a thief.
Yeah, but they're soft and cuddly.
They're not cuddly. That's the thing. They bite. Most ferrets bite.
Yeah. So emotionally,
I think he's
Matthew
a cat
Maloney is a big soft
or a reptile. I think
Matthew
I'm gonna go
Maloney
with cat
is a big soft cuddly guy who bites a lot. He's like a weasel. You're like a weasel, Matt. Not like a weasel in the term like you steal, but a weasel in the actual animal. You're like an actual animal weasel.
You think he's trying to weasel his way into our hearts?
No, I think he's just a weasel wheezing on the jitters. But he said we bounced right back up a week later and delivered that no sir charm we fans have grown to adore. Great job. There's but one point of last week's show with which I have a grievance.
Uh-oh.
And it is contained within the following Brian Vokey quote.
Naturally. What'd you say this time, Brian?
Apparently I said, I know I'm smarter than a lot of my friends. And they have strong opinions about what should be going on in Syria, meaning like what we should be doing to deal with Syria. And it's like, if I don't understand, I know there's no way you don't understand. You don't even understand the fucking plot to Twin Peaks, you retard.
That sounds like you.
That sounds like something I'd say. It's a murder mystery. How the fuck do you understand what's going on in Syria? Now, he said, I personally couldn't give two shits about anything happening in Syria. Maybe he is a tarantula guy.
I'm telling that's you, kind dude, of a, I think yeah, so.
That's a reptile tarantula guy quote. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to think maybe... I still think he has a weasel, but maybe not a parakeet.
Maybe he's got both. Maybe he's just got a tarantula and a ferret.
Matt, do you live like Ace Ventura? Do you walk home and just go, all righty then, and all these and animals come running?
Somebody comes out from behind a bookshelf.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
An otter comes out of a doggy door in the fridge. After all, the country only has two stars on its flag, and in my book, that makes him only 4% as relevant to the U.S. of A. But I don't think these remarks are fair to those of us who struggle to keep up with Twin Peaks. Did you see that third season, Brian? I did not see the third season yet. Showtime gave David Lynch full creative control on that one, and boy, did he use it. Granted, season one is simple enough to follow, but then right from the jump of season two, you get Cooper talking to a giant ghost alien from another dimension, telling him that owls aren't what they appear. If you pay attention to the log lady, you'll understand the owl plot. Matt, it's very simple. If you want me to explain to you what's going on with the owls or with Syria, I'd be more than happy to do it. Okay? Then there's all that stuff about white lodges and black lodges. They find out from cave paintings and signals from space. Nadine's amnesia gives her super strength for some reason. Matt, you got to understand that some of this stuff is right in front of you. And as soon as they catch Laura's killer, Maddie's killer too, but no one seems to give a shit. Now that I agree with. They have this woman in a coma for half the show. And then I think she died. Yeah, she does die. And she's zero part of the plot, basically. Windham Earl comes to town and he starts causing all sorts of trouble. I may not know what's happening in Syria, but there's no way it's as convoluted as whatever the fuck is going on in Twin Peaks. So this little example you provided us of how dumb your friends are has so ironically made you look like a fool, Brian, like a goddamn fool. I certainly hope you aren't truly.
That's another scorn lover line. Uh-huh. You look like a fool, like a goddamn fool.
And then sips a mint julep.
How could you, Brian? How could you do this to us?
I certainly hope you aren't truly the smartest among your friends. Does that include Carmen, by the way?
Oh, another divisive thing. Movement. Yep. Man, people just really want us to fight.
As you so boldly claim, you clearly lack the intellect required to get a maple bar to me in a world where Postmates exists. But like I said earlier, it's a massive improvement from the week before. Keep up the good work. Am I smarter than Carmen? How do I answer this question?
I don't know. But you also surround yourself with dumb people sometimes, though. So I think maybe it's like, what is it, that Sturgill Simpson line, you're king turd of shit mountain?
I'm not king of anything. I don't surround myself with dumb people. That's just all I can relate to. It's not like, give me more dumb people so I feel smart.
Please.
No, I think that what's the greatest comedy trope is the two dumb friends, but the dumber one is the one who thinks he's smarter than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm so much better. I'd be so much better off without this guy.
Well, thanks for writing, Matthew. We appreciate
it. Yeah, I really appreciate you guys writing in. We love emails and we love wine. Listen, I'm not drinking anymore, but if you mail me the booze, I will drink it out of just good because I appreciate it.
Because we care.
Yeah.
We care that you care, and that makes us feel good.
Yeah, let us know if you want us to come to your town in the fall. We're going to put together some run somewhere. And also, if you guys are in Lexington, Kentucky, May 17th, I'll be there. May 17th, May 19th. If you guys are in Madison, Milwaukee, I'll be there June
14th. Madison, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm.
Madison, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Same state as the great Green Bay Packers. I'll be there June 14th, June 16th. Also, I'm coming to Lambeau Field, Green Bay, Wisconsin, with old Pops.
You going with your dad?
Yeah, in the fall. We're going to Lambeau Field.
Oh, fuck yeah.
But I'm not plugging that. I'm just just saying I'm going to Wisconsin twice this year.
Nice. Maybe we could book some stuff around it when you're going to be in Green Bay anyways.
Cause that'd be nice.
To travel.
You know what easy, I'd love? Easy. You know what I love about Milwaukee? God damn it. I keep calling Wisconsin Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's a city within the state.
I know. River West, very violent. Played a lot of punk shows there in Milwaukee.
It's not violent anymore.
Yes, it is. You're 100% wrong. I have friends who still live there.
Which one's River West?
River West is the hood of Milwaukee.
That's north and if you're looking at Milwaukee, it's like north and west. Is that River West?
I don't know. I just know that's where all the punk shows happen. But mm-hmm. That's one of two cities in America where they shoot at punks.
Really?
Milwaukee, New Orleans, of course. Well, no, I want to talk about the gas stations.
Okay.
So you've toured Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, I've stayed in like shitty parts of like hood parts of Milwaukee.
But I'm talking about
the rural. Okay, yeah.
Like when you're driving through Wisconsin mm-hmm. and you have to stop and get gas off the highway.
Yeah.
They always sell those meat and cheese curds, the little
I fuck with those.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's like a Lunchable, but for a piece of shit. Oh, yeah. They're so good.
Yeah, it's a little plastic cup that like a fruit salad would come in, but it's full of cheese curds and salami sticks, and it is the greatest thing. And you don't see them at many gas stations outside of Wisconsin.
What's great is they just have cheese curds everywhere there. That is my favorite thing about that state.
It's unbelievable. They have the best accessibility gas stations.
The best cheese curds and the freshest you've ever had in your life.
And it's hard to find a gas station that doesn't have Big Buck Hunter, which is, that's my big vice.
You like Big Buck Hunter? Oh. See, for me, it's Golden Tee.
Yeah, you've beaten me in Golden Tee.
I forgot that we played it, but I'm glad you told me that. Yeah, yep. Fuck yeah, I beat you.
Played in Riverside. I remember every loss I've ever taken. I do.
Do you?
Yeah. The fact that I remember, that's insane.
It is. I didn't remember that we played.
I lost to Carmen, a girl, in Golden
in
Tee.
In virtual golf. I'd beat you in real life in golf, too.
I don't think so.
No, I know so.
No.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I wonder if they have Top Golf here. No, it's only in Vegas is the closest Top Golf. It'd be fun.
I did that in Salt Lake City. Topgolf was fun.
It's super fun. Yeah, I did it when I was in Virginia Beach. Virginia, of all places. Oh, speaking of plug-in shit, I'm going to be in Colorado. I'm going to be in Fort Collins and in Boulder and in Denver and in Colorado Springs. I'm also doing a really rad, super secret, invite-only house show that's going to have some famous people on it.
In Denver?
All incredible, yeah, all incredible comedians. I think the people of Denver would appreciate it.
You're hosting it? That's dope.
It's going to be real good, real
I
fun.
I can't wait to hear off mic who these people are.
It's going to be good.
When are you going to be in Colorado? Tell the people. You just said you're going to be there.
I'm going to be in Colorado, all around Colorado from July 13th all the way until the end of the month. I have all these assorted shows. And the Super Fun House show is going to be on July 24th. It's on a Tuesday. I have the I'll post the dates on the No Sir page and in the group and on the on my, all my stuff. By the way, follow us, not just the podcast, if you'd like to. I'm at the Funny Carmen. Brian
at Brian J Vokey. Brian with a Y.
And at No Sir Pod for everything else. We got a group. I don't know if you guys know this, but we have a group now on Facebook. If you guys want to join it, we put stuff in there that we don't post anywhere else because it's a closed group. Only we know. Only we know.
It's a good place to send your gripe of the week or.
Oh yeah, that's a perfect place to do it. Yeah. Or you could tweet it at us too. Guys, thanks so much for listening. We love you.
Appreciate you.
Bye. Hey guys. Full disclosure: this episode was actually a re-recording of an episode that we did not release because we made the mistake of trying to record a podcast in Brian's room, which is a vortex of sadness. But instead of getting rid of all of the stuff that we recorded, I'm going to post clips of it in the closed Facebook group. So if you guys want to hear some bonus stuff where we talk about fear and we talk about us lamenting where we are in our careers, you can do that in the Facebook group. If that's not your jam, I totally understand. That's why I didn't release it. But if it is your jam, if you do want to hear us be full people and not just people that try to make people laugh, you can in the Facebook group, the No Sir, I Don't Like It group. Either way, I hope you have a great week. Bye.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.